It's also our opportunity to say thank you to Marielle, such a wonderful sponsor of our media room and a great partner to the industry and a great sponsor of our event tonight. So I will kind of introduce our panel here. We've got to my immediate left is Terry Stokes, CEO of NCBA. Jim McAdams is the current president of NCBA, and Mike John is current president-elect. John Queen from North Carolina is our current vice president. Seated to his left is Monty Reese, the chief operating officer of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Al Swagger from Nebraska is the chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. I always have to throw in a reference to Nebraska whenever I can. Ken Stilo from Kansas is the secretary treasurer of the Beef Board, and Jay O'Brien of Texas is the current vice chair of the Beef Board. So I want to get started on our issues forum portion of the evening. We do have a mic here in the middle. If you'd like to use that to ask your question, that's great. If that's not convenient to you, feel free to ask your question. Stand and ask your question. Just make sure that we can hear you clearly, and I'd be happy to repeat it. But if the mic is convenient to you, you might want to use that. So I'm going to open it up. Do we have a first question for anybody on the panel? Rod Smith.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to ask, I think Jim, although you may want to defer it to someone else, about the OIG report this afternoon, and this must have something to do with it. I read through it fairly quickly, and of course it's, you know, like 1,000 pages, so. But it seemed pretty critical of the process USDA has in place concerning detecting bovine spongiform encephalopathy. I know that American beef is safe, and I know that most people feel that USDA has a very good system in place. I'm not asking you to really comment on the OIG report, but what does this mean in terms of trying to reopen the Japanese market? How frustrating is this? How much longer might it take? And asking about how much longer might it take, you know, you folks have got real good people you talk to. How long do you think it will take?
That's one of your easier questions. I don't know, and I can't speculate, Rod. But on the OIG report, I haven't had a chance to read it, but, you know, this thing has been out for so long that they were doing it and anticipating criticism, because at the incidents that they investigated, USDA was heavily criticized by all of us at the time and brought up the points that I think OIG probably is bringing out. And what I think is significant is from that incident, in those incidents, USDA acted to rectify those problems and assure it didn't happen again. So we felt like that this is something that has happened, been corrected. I'll be anxious to see USDA's response to this OIG report. In regard to the Japanese, we have worked diligently, and USDA has, at the time of the Texas cow and the verification that she had BSE, the Japanese were apprised of everything at that point in time, and we negotiated opening after that. So I would hope it wouldn't impact our ability to make progress at getting the Japanese border reopened. Can't really speculate on when that would be, but from the reports I'm getting, both sides are working diligently and conscientiously in a positive manner. So it's our hope that it'll be a matter of weeks and not months this time. And if y'all would just allow me a little personal privilege, if I could, because Ben Scott's not going to let me have the mic, but many of you probably think this is part of the Aggie Network deal. But it's not, because what it is, it's the Ag Network thing, really. I met Bob Vanskoek when I was chairman. It was my first job for NCA, National Cattlemen's Association, the IRM Committee of the National Cattlemen's Association. And Merck was sponsoring IRM. And Bob Vanskoek represented Merck. And IRM was a fledgling fledgling thing. Martin Jorgensen, been the chairman, and done a great job, but I take over, and we're in financial difficulty, and we're all fussing and fighting. Sound kind of familiar? And Merck was really questioning whether they should do that, and Bob Unskoyk, he believed in what we were trying to do, and he stood for IRM, and we would talk. I mean, he'd take the time to talk, and we became good friends at that time. And without his support, Merck wouldn't have continued, I don't believe, and there wouldn't be an integrated resource management project. And a lot of good came out of that. It's not a silver bullet, but it's that sort of thing where an individual with a company, and Merck is always, and now Mariel, has stood behind this industry, and that's how we make progress and succeed. And it's truly a partnership and a mutual dependency, and beyond that, you get lifelong friendships. We don't see each other very often, but we enjoy it when we do. Thank you all for letting me say that.
Thank you, Jim. Does anyone else have a question?
Hi, Chris Clayton with DTN. Yesterday at the executive committee meeting, you guys spoke briefly about taking a look at the checkoff and seeing about moving forward with possible changes. And I think members of the beef board were there, but do you members feel that the checkoff needs to be increased? And how long do you think it might take to see something like that actually happen?
Who would like first shot at that? Al, maybe?
No.
Okay.
It's not my area.
I think, as you know, the beef board can do nothing to legislatively to change the checkoff. We've had lots of thoughts and ideas this afternoon in our update session about increasing it, but I believe probably NCBA has had some straw votes today that would indicate that, and I'll let them address that.
Okay.
Well, what Chris is referring to is an indication from our membership that it's important at this time, and now that we have assurance that it is constitutional and that we have a checkoff and that it is perpetually in place and supported by the Constitution, it's probably time to look at how we enhance the checkoff that has been one of the most incredibly successful programs that I've ever seen and that I think has been amazingly successful to the industry. So there's, from all stages and all places and all segments of the industry, there is an interest in getting together and looking at how we could enhance it, how we could get back to where we were when it was first passed, when we didn't have the benefit of 20 years of inflation to nibble away at the dollar and nibble away at its effectiveness. So what we were, the executive committee asked and proposed that we look into initiating a process by inviting everybody to the table that has any interest in and the success of a checkoff and looking into enhancing it, adding to it, whether that means more value, a different process. As far as I'm concerned, that process would be wide open. And as Al said, it's not something that can be done with checkoff dollars or checkoff or through that process of the Federation or the Beef Board. So it will be the policy side of NCBA and then any other organization that expressed an interest in participating in that process. I know Farm Bureau has already expressed an interest in participating in that process. And as far as I'm concerned and we're concerned, anybody that has a positive view of the checkoff and looking at enhancing it is welcome to participate.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Les, you have a question?
Yeah, would it take a change in the checkoff program to implement the long-range plan, assuming that the long-range plan is accepted by the organization?
No, I don't believe so. There are certainly aspects of the long-range plan that fit the current definitions of the authority that we have to invest checkoff dollars. Obviously, there are portions of the plan that are not checkoff-related, that are policy-type issues. But to the extent that the checkoff authorities allow us to address those issues identified in the long-range plan that's proposed, there would be no requirement for a change in the existing actor order.
What about your ability to fund
some of those projects?
Again, as I say, there are specific definitions in the Act and order of the types of programs that we can fund. Generally speaking, they include promotion, certain types of research, consumer information programs, industry information, foreign marketing, producer communications, and those are all covered in the long-range plan. We can continue to fund those types of programs. I would anticipate that the priorities and the tactics within those programs may change in order to better address what's identified in the long-range plan, but the authority remains.
Ron Hayes has a question. Ron?
This would be on the policy side of things. Randy Russell at your issues forum today talked about the millions of dollars that animal rights groups, groups that do not like the beef industry and other animal agriculture very much, they've got millions of dollars to spend on the farm bill debate. Are you going to be proactive? Are you going to wait for these guys to unload on the industry? Are you looking at coalitions? Is there a game plan, I guess, I'm asking?
Ron, that's a good question, and one of the things that we anticipate with the Farm Bill 2007 is that we'll have the best funded, best organized opposition that we've had, that we've seen in some time. We are taking a proactive approach. We've already began working with our state affiliates to identify some of the critical issues and ensuring that we have a clear position on those. We've had discussions with other farm organizations like Farm Bureau about the Farm Bill and the importance of us speaking with one voice. And I guess to quote a counterpart of mine, Bob Stallman, is that there's going to be no time like this where agriculture speaks with one voice, and if we're going to ensure that we have a positive change to the Farm Bill as we see it coming forward. We've had talks with other industry groups. We've had our committees will be looking at this tomorrow, and our committee leadership will be very engaged in this process as we go forward. We intend to meet with our allied industry partners and our product council partners who have representation in Washington, D.C., so that agriculture approaches this farm bill with a united front. Whether it's pork or beef or our Farm Bureau, we've had discussions and intend to fight this or and deal with this farm bill very aggressively and with a united front.
Okay. Anyone else have a question? I'm sure we have. Greg Henderson.
Increasingly, with some of the programs that companies such as Sure Health and others have, the sale barns have increasingly become an important going to play an important role in how we market cattle, and I just wondered if both of you groups, CBB and the NCBA, could tell us what the relationship is now with LMA and the sale barns and those people and where we stand.
Who wants first shot of that? John Queen?
Well, I don't know how our sale barns are affiliated totally with LMA, our Livestock Marketing Council within NCBA. Has grown tremendously this year with our sale barns, and we're certainly going to interact in that form.
You're obviously aware of the litigation brought by LMA against the checkoff. I can assure you that once the Supreme Court decision was handed down, we opened a dialogue with the senior leadership of LMA, their elected officers and their senior staff. We've met, we've had very, very positive discussions, and it would be premature to say that all is well, but we're very optimistic. To reach a complete settlement will require participation by other entities such as USDA and the Department of Justice, but I think I can safely say that the relationship between the Beef Board and LMA is the best it's been in 5 or 6 years, and I think it's going to get better.
Thank you, Monty. Anyone else?
I would certainly hope that in any of the programs, whether it involves a checkoff reform or whether it involves animal ID or any of those things, those folks are, as far as we're concerned, are certainly invited at the table. I don't think you can proceed without people that have that infrastructure and that investment involved, because it is going to directly involve them. We've had some of those folks here at this meeting this week, as a matter of fact, because it's the how we're going to proceed on animal ID, and they want to be involved, and they should be involved, and we want them to be involved. So they're welcome from my perspective.
Thank you, Mike. Next question. Les, do you have another?
Some folks have said that you want to take a look at the checkoff program, maybe make some changes here and there. Do you folks feel that way? And if you do, how much, what kind of changes might you like to make the checkoff program better, even if it includes legislation?
I'll look for volunteers on that one. On legislation, we'll have to handle it on this end, of course.
I'll take it, because in 2 days I'll be gone, and that's a safer thing. There's two aspects of this. We want to, as an organization, represent the viewpoint of our members and the cattle producers of this country. So whatever happens will be at the direction of our membership. But as an individual and as watching this industry, and realizing the good things we've done with this checkoff program in 20 years, and also realizing that due to inflation alone, the buying power of that dollar is less than 50% of what it was when it was passed, and realizing the global competition where we're seeing Canada commit millions of dollars, 60 to 80 million foreign market promotion, and we're seeing Australia raise their checkoff to $5, and realizing from the long-range plan that we are in a global competition and a competition protein dollar, it makes sense that we need to look at this checkoff and ensure that it's as effective as it can be. It also makes sense that we need to figure how to increase the resources going to the checkoff. But I'll also say that when you think that we only have 50 cents of every dollar that we had in the late 80s, and the good we've done with this program, it makes you pretty proud.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? All right. Jay O'Brien.
There are some major changes happening with the checkoff right now, and I'd like to see them continue. And those changes are that I've seen since the court ruling are that we seem to have a broader view among all organizations of focusing on how to improve the checkoff. And we've had communications you heard about with LMA. We've had communications with lots of different groups that the press often reports is negative toward the checkoff, but that what they've communicated to us is support for the checkoff and for improving demand. And so I guess what I'd like to see changed in the checkoff is to see all of us continuing this move of working together to improve demand and focus on demand and help our product sell at a higher price with better acceptance by the public.
Thank you, Jay. Evan Slack has a question.
All right, and comment or two. John Houston worked long and hard, and the staff. I was right across the street. We had lunch many times, and I went through the embryonic stages of the first vote, the second vote, the third vote, and we talk about U.S. beef. And if we would go in that direction, this might answer some of our concerns with some of the other folks regarding importers. We would just say, no, thank you very much. We're going to promote U.S. beef. That might be one avenue to look at, Mike. And I'd be willing to pay another half dollar. I run cows. And to get the word out on BWF. And we're happy to have you in Denver.
Thank you. Who wants to take that? Money? Mike.
Since you singled me out for some reason, Evan, thank you. Must be our common roots in Missouri, maybe. Individual producers designed the first checkoff, and they had surveys that found out what they wanted in it, and they had to do it three times, and they put it together by getting together and deciding how they wanted it to be, and then they, when they finally got it the way they could get a majority vote to get it passed, that's how they got it passed. And any changes that are going to occur in a future checkoff would be exactly, maybe not exactly, but certainly based on the same premise. We're not going to decide up here how it's going to be designed. You know, we are interested in being part of developing a process to look into designing perhaps a new checkoff. And that should probably include, again, a survey of all producers to see what they're looking for. And that obviously is one area that will be explored. But I can't even begin to guess on what the terms and what the conditions and what the ideas are going to be expressed once this coalition of the willing is comes up with when we put it together.
What do you think about promoting U.S. beef only and leaving the importers out?
Well, again, I haven't had any time to think about that. I mean, is it, you know, you have to take in all kinds of ramifications. That wasn't how it was designed the first time, so that would be a change from the first time. So if that's what the majority of the people that are going to vote on the checkoff want, then that'll probably be a provision of that. But I don't know. I haven't had a chance to think about that. Anybody else want to?
I'm hearing some comments.
I have heard that comment often, and I'm guessing that when the group gets together to discuss it, that will certainly be one of the conditions in there. But you know, the first time when that went through, everybody thought everybody should pay. So if that's different this time, it'll be different this time.
I'd like to say one thing here. I think that we've grown demand so much since 1998 using the checkoff to advertise all products. And I think if we single out just one product in the grocery chain, then we're going to give our consumers the idea that maybe the other is not safe or not good. And we'll take away from our demand drive that we have going at this point.
To just comment on what the program is today, we can promote U.S. beef in the foreign marketplace, and we do promote it as U.S. beef. In the domestic marketplace, again, as Mike said, those surveys that finally got that third vote that producers did approve said that producers wanted everyone to pay. No one gets a free ride. That's why every pound of imported beef or beef products is assessed at $1 a head equivalent. The idea is producers did not want importers to benefit from increasing beef demand in this country without having to pay their fair share when they import it in. The other concept is we want to promote beef against other protein choices, whether it be chicken, fowl meat, as Jay likes to call it, or whether it be vegetarianism, promote beef against other center of plate choices, not promote beef against beef. As Mike says, if that philosophy's changed, we need to hear it. But that's the basis of the current program, and USDA simply, based on the current legislation, would not let us promote U.S. beef only.
Thank you, Monty. Anyone else?
Do you see NCBA taking the lead in tweaking the act or the way things are run, or do you see another group taking the lead?
What we think is important that we determine what kind of program that the producers of this country will get behind and support and contribute toward. And so our first objective is to try to develop a coalition of the willing, really, and to find out what the feeling of the various organizations and their members is regarding the checkoff and what would make for a better checkoff. So what we've done to this point is try to get a coalition that NCBA is a part of, and we're certainly going to be a dynamic part of it, but it's no different than what we've tried to do with Animal ID from the standpoint it's a coalition of the willing that we hope that we can grow. And we can come to consensus as an industry and be confident that we have the backing and then go to Congress and enact the legislation. And at the end of the day, for it to be a highly successful program, it needs to be a popular program as this one has been, one that people will support, pay into, and we can use to achieve the objectives of building demand and growing this industry.
Thank you, Jim.
But to directly answer your question, NCBA will definitely take a leadership role because that's what NCBA always does on an issue that affects the industry.
All right, thank you, Mike. Got time for a final question? No takers? All right, well, thank you to the officers. I really appreciate their participation, and thanks to all of you for coming. I'd like to give them a round of applause for...